Thank you for joining us for another power-packed message from the Expression House headquarters, Mokola, Ibadan. We bring people into membership in God's family, mature them in Christ's likeness, equip them for ministry, and send them out for missions to the world in order to magnify God's name. We hope that this message is a blessing to you as you advance your life and discover purpose. Connect with us on all our social media platforms at the XPHNG or join us on site at Mokola, Ibadan for fellowship and partnership. Now, let's get into the message.
I want to continue the series, Lord, Open My Eyes. Please turn to Ephesians 1, 17 to 23, which is our text. But before you go there, please go to Psalm 119 and verse 18. The book of Psalms, 119 and verse 18. Psalm 119 and verse 18. Open thou my eyes. Why? That I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. This was the prayer of the psalmist. And I pray for the church that God will open our eyes so that we may behold wondrous things out of his law in the name of Jesus. Go to Ephesians 1. From verse 17 to 23, and I encouraged you 2 weeks ago to be praying this every day over your life. Please don't stop praying it. I prayed it over you today, but please also pray it over yourself. Verse 17, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto us the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of our understanding being enlightened, that we may know what is the hope of his calling and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world but also in that which is to come. And has put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. Can I have an amen to that? Say with me, Lord, open my eyes. Why do we need our eyes open? I'm going to take off from there this morning. Why is this spiritual enlightenment very, very important? I have 7 points. I will go only as far as time will permit me. Point number one, why do we need to have our spiritual eyes open? Number one, so that we may see Jesus like we should. So that we may see Jesus like we should. So that we may see Jesus like we should. Go to Acts of the Apostles, chapter 26, and I'm going to be in verses 14 to 18. Acts of the Apostles 26, verses 14 to 18. And when we were all falling to the earth, I heard a voice speaking unto me. This is Paul speaking here, singing in the Hebrew tongue, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And I said, who art thou, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. But rise and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness both of these things which thou hast seen, and of those things in the which I will appear unto thee, delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles, unto whom now I send thee. That was when he became an apostle. An apostle is a sent one. He made him an apostle. I'm the one sending you. You better let God send you and you don't send yourself. Verse 18. To open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light, and from the power of Satan unto God. Some people say, it should. They say Satan doesn't have any power. Now, I'm not talking about those who say he has power. They say he has no power. The Lord Jesus said, from the power of Satan. Satan has some power. That's why you see some abracadabra being done, some magic being done. When Moses put down his rod and it turned to a snake, the magicians of Egypt did the same thing. What? Who do you think you are? You this stammerer. Who do you think you are? They put down their rod. It turned to snakes as well. For every original, there's a counterfeit. People travel. They travel in the air. They travel. The power of the prince of the air. The Bible talks about that in the New Testament. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. There are powers. No doubt about it. So don't say, Satan has no power. He's got some power. But his power cannot match the power of Jesus. Can I have an amen? Some people live very carelessly because they think Satan has no power, so he can't do anything. We are not here to glorify the power of Satan. We are here to glorify Jesus. Amen. That's why he has given us power over that power. He has given us authority over that power. Exousia over the power of Satan. And he has also given us dunamis, self-charging power of God over all the powers of the devil. So he's got some powers, but we have power over his power. We have authority over his power. Are you getting what I'm saying now? Jesus was telling Paul to turn people to, number one, to open their eyes. Because unless their eyes are open, you will not be able to turn them from darkness to light. Because their eyes being shut means darkness. When you close your eyes, what can you see? Come on, talk to me, church. When you close your eyes, when you walk into a building with your eyes closed, can you see anything? It's one of the reasons we preach the gospel, so that people's eyes can be opened. They may have money, but their eyes are closed. They have influence, but their eyes are closed. They have social media followership, but their eyes are closed. They have property in Dubai, but their spiritual eyes are closed. They have education, they are professors, but their eyes are closed. To open their eyes. I was talking to some judges, retired judges, current sitting judges, legal luminaries, senior advocates of Nigeria, and other captains of industry in Lekki, Lagos, Tuesday last week. And in wrapping up, I said to them, no matter what you have, no matter your attainment in life, no matter the celebrations that we give you on earth, if you don't know Jesus, you have nothing. Some of them didn't like it. One of the daughters of the big people there obviously didn't like it. She made some comment. And when I was done and when she made the comment, I just looked at her and said, oh, really? The Lord opened the eyes of your understanding. People are so much attached to this world. I am the so-so-so-and-so-so. I'm the wife of so-so-and-so. I am the chairman so-so-and-so. And so when you breathe your last, those things don't know you. Your wig that you wear to court does not know you. The car you drive to your office every day does not know you. Have you ever seen a man die and the car crying? Oh, no, where is my owner? No. That same day, someone else will start driving that car. Everything we are putting on today, if we pack up today and go to heaven, those things will belong to someone else. Our loved ones may not want to wear them. Because they don't want memories, they would donate them to some orphanage. Some orphans who didn't have clothes to wear will rejoice and say, praise the Lord. Your clothes will not cry on anybody's body. Ah! Ah! I want my original owner. I want to go back to my original. No, nothing knows you. Jesus said the life of a man does not consist in the abundance of the things that he possesses. Your mobile phone does not know you. That's why it can be stolen. And it will stop. It won't stop working. I wish when they steal our phones, they would just stop working. How many of you wish like that? Like, let it be useless to that person.
pit, they will go and flash it. They flash it in Lube.
They will return it back to factory setting. Wipe all your memory away. Someone else is using it. To open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins, number one, and inheritance among them who are sanctified by faith that is in me. Glory be to God. I said, glory be to God. Look, outside of Jesus, there is no life. Outside of Jesus, we have crisis. A life that is not in Christ is in a major crisis. He might not know yet, but is crisis walking on two legs going somewhere to happen. Are you getting what I'm saying? Outside of Jesus, there is nothing to hold on to in this world. Everything is ephemeral. Everything is short-lived. Everything is temporal. The only thing eternal is our life in Christ. Our life in Christ. Even our time in church is temporal. We're going to close the service 11:15. By 11:30, some of you are out of here. By 12, some of you are out of here. By 2 p.m., some of you are out of here. So we are not here permanently. Everything is speaking to us. So why do we need our eyes to be open? So that we may see Jesus for who he is. Some of us are not seeing Jesus correctly. We are not seeing him properly. Paul did not, he was Saul of Tarsus at that time. He had not seen Jesus before. He didn't know Jesus. In fact, he was persecuting the followers of Jesus. He was killing them. He was getting letters from the scribes, the Pharisees, the doctors of the law, the religious leaders of the day, and he was killing Christians. He was putting them in prison. He was tormenting them. In fact, he said later in Galatians, he said, I injured the church of God. And he thought he was doing the right thing, for crying out loud. Is there some of these, our brothers on the other side? They have been brainwashed to assume that whatever they are doing it, you know, to advance the cause of their God. And their God promised them, when you kill people and you get killed in the process, guess what? Seven virgins are going to meet you in that place. And when they meet you, you have seven virgins to yourself. Just be deflowering them as you like. Because what's the use? You have seven virgins. So you have energy for the seven of them. Pa, pa, pa. Night after night, you have seven babes to yourself. Another one said, I heard a man give an analogy, very funny. He said, when they get to that place, there are only four kinds of liquid in that place. Number one liquid in that place where they're going, there is water, the common water we all drink. Number two, said there is alcohol. They would drink alcohol like crazy. Number three, there is honey. They would drink honey. And then number four, water, alcohol, honey, and I think he said wine, sweet wine. Of course, you know, there's alcoholic wine and there's sweet wine. He said, but when you are drunk, so when they promised them that over there, when you are drunk, like you take alcohol, you take it like crazy, you drink to stupor, you will fly like an airplane. You will fly. You will actually literally fly. And then when you will land on a virgin. And I keep wondering, okay, now let's even assume they give you seven virgins and you deflower the seven of them. Another idiot comes, they give him seven virgins, he deflowers all of them. All the virgins will be deflowered, right? I mean, so when you now fly, you still land on a virgin. Which virgin? All the virgins in that place have been deflowered. Can you see the idiocy and the idiosyncrasy and the nonsensity and the nonsensicality in the way they think because they have been brainwashed? They're in darkness, man. Some young guys have blown themselves up because of a virgin. A young man that could have turned up an electrical engineer, an IT engineer that will solve the problems of the world and make good money, more money than Elon Musk. Very smart guy, very smart in physics. But religion got in the way, and the religious God told him, all you need to do, walk into a mall, plant bombs on yourself. If you can kill like 1 million, my goodness, you are going to have seven times virgins. When you get to that place, and they'll blow themselves up, all for them to discover that they're in a Christless eternity, in torment forever
and ever and ever and ever and ever and ever and ever. Where are the virgins you promised?
Do you know what is going on in Iran right now? A revival is going on. The young people are saying, the mullahs lied to us. All the things that the mullahs promised, lie. They said they will bring prosperity to our economy. Economy is in shambles. We used to be very rich, but the mullahs came and they took over. That place, usually you have some Arabs, you have some Jewish people there. They had some prosperity there. Until the mullahs came and brought a new religion. And now women can't go to school. Women cannot drive. Can you imagine you women? You can't drive because of religion. You can't dress like this. So after many, many years, some of them have traveled to America. And they've seen that, oh, life is different here. A lady can drive, can ride a bicycle, can go to school, can become a medical doctor. What? So a change of thinking started happening. Then the boys are saying, okay, we are going to be rebellious to these people. Now the boys in Iran, they open their shirts. They won't button up. They wear a long chain, gold chain. They wear ripped jeans, and they walk on the streets. And then the mullah police say, oh, haram, haram, haram. Then the boys gather, beat them up. So the mullah said, leave them alone, leave them alone, leave them alone. Leave them alone. Don't. That's how their problem started. And some of them are even saying to Israel, Israel, come and attack us. Come and attack us so we can be free. Because we hate these people. We don't believe in what they promised. They have failed on all fronts. Anything, I'm not mentioning any religion, anything outside Jesus is darkness. Are you getting what I'm saying? What is going on there is that people's eyes are now opening. Ha! What do you mean? I want to reach my potential. I want to be all that God wants me to be. I'm created for a purpose. How can you tell me I should just stay in the place and be chanting something, chanting something, chanting something, and never advance? Nations where internet is cut off. Can you imagine such pitch darkness? Because anywhere Satan is, there is darkness. There is the prince of darkness. Satan, in fact, is the king of darkness. Can you see what the mandate that the Lord gave to Paul? He said, so that you can turn them from darkness to light, turn them from the power of Satan to God. Are you with me, church? Are you with me, church? See, anybody you tell about Jesus and you succeed, God helps you to get them to receive Jesus, what happens is that instantly light comes into them because Jesus is the light of the world. Did you get what I said this morning? How does this affect you? When you begin to pray this prayer, Lord, open my eyes, you will begin to see Jesus like you should see him. He is the light of the world. He's not just the light of the world. He's the love of God personified. Hebrews 12:2 says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. You also begin to see Jesus as the author and finisher of your faith. So you will begin to tell yourself, I know my faith will not fail. There might be a delay, but it's not going to be a denial. Why? Because my faith is rooted in Jesus. He is the source of my faith. Are you getting what I'm saying now? Looking unto Jesus, the author, the root, the source of my faith, and also the developer, the finisher. When you come up with a piece of furniture and you are a carpenter or whatever they call them, and you finish it, you do some finishing, you sandpaper, you polish, you spray, you make it nice. That's called finishing. So Jesus is not just the source of our faith, he's also the finisher, the perfecter, the developer of our faith. That's why outside of Jesus, there is no faith. Are you getting what I'm saying? Let your faith be in Jesus. Not in people, not in things. I'm not talking about the natural kind of faith that everybody has. I'm talking about Bible faith, which is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Faith is the hypostasis, is the foundation of things that you now hope for, the evidence of things not seen. So when there is pain in my body, and I look to Jesus, the author and the finisher of my faith,
I'm not asking him to come and heal me. I'm thanking him because he has healed me. I am not the sick looking for healing. I am the healed of the Lord. I'm the one Jesus has healed, whom Satan is now trying to make sick, and I refuse to be sick. Can I have an amen to that? When you pray this prayer in Ephesians, and you pray in the Holy Ghost, Lord, enlighten the eyes of my understanding, you will begin to see Jesus like you should see him. When Jesus is revealed to our hearts, that's why I love what is going to happen next month in July. You see, in this church, we're going deeper and deeper in Jesus. And we're going higher and higher in height in the Holy Ghost. The theme of next month is King Jesus. And that's what we're going to do all through Worship His Majesty. Because we need Jesus revealed to us. Many have religion revealed to them. That's why they go about killing people. That's why some even people in Christian circles don't mingle with other Christians, because they are carnal. You are spiritual. In our church, no lady would put on an earring, because when you wear an earring, your ear will ring in hell. Oh, brother, you're wearing jeans. What a carnal church. So full, so very carnal. Look at all the brothers in the choir this morning wearing denim. On a Sunday morning, why are you wearing denim? Ladies, why are you not covering your head? Don't you know that the angels will not be happy to look at your hair? Oh, Lord, mercy. And that's what they preach. Sunday after Sunday, dressing. How to avoid hell. Hell is around. But in the whole year, what you hear is hell. You never hear Jesus. You're hell. Now you're already living in hell. Because that's how they have conditioned your mind. You see hell in everything. Somebody gives you a birthday gift. Oh no, I don't know where you got the money from. I don't want to go to hell. Happy birthday. Oh, can we have a celebration for you on your birthday? I don't want to go to hell. That was how somebody celebrated birthday in the Bible. And a lady came to dance and danced and danced. And they asked for the head of John the Baptist, and the king gave them. That's why some people don't celebrate birthday today. I'm telling you that. For real. Some people don't do Christmas. No. It's a celebration of idols. Easter! No, I don't want to hear that. What do you do? Their lives are boring. Jesus ain't boring. Did you hear what I said? Jesus ain't boring. He ain't boring, man. He's full of life. In fact, life takes its source from Jesus. So, how can he be boring? When my friends back in the day used to drink alcohol, and I wouldn't drink alcohol. He said, man, your life is boring. I said, man, I've never seen in my life anyone that is as boring as anyone that takes alcohol. I said, I would take myself Sunday afternoon to Pastry Delight. Pastry Delight was like what you call Mr. Biggs and all of that now. At Mokola Roundabout, I'll sit down all by myself. I would take myself out, buy myself snacks, buy myself a carton of juice, chilled, sit down. Enjoy all by myself. Look at good music, man. Cross my legs. Think about my life. Praise God for where I am and plan for the next level. But you guys will take your money. You go to a beer parlor. You sit down. I say, look at the people in the beer parlor. All of them look very depressed. And when they come under the influence of alcohol, they look more depressed. Your speech becomes slurred. Even of the fire, I can slap a pastor. Oh. Tunubu is a. Oh. Look at them. Look at their dresses, looking drab. Everything falling off. Some of them, they have to help them to put it together when they are going home. And then you are going home, you're staggering. Man, I bounce to the place, to an eatery. I bounce back with more energy. Now tell me whose life is more boring. You guys fall in the you fall in the gutter. They pick you up. Your mothers are crying. My mama never cried one day because I took alcohol. Because I never did. I said, man, I'm enjoying my life. I can sit down alone with Jesus. They don't understand that. How do you sit with Jesus? I sit with him. We gist. We talk. Every time Jesus talks to me and I talk to him, my energy is pumped up because he ministers life to me. Satan, who sits within your beer parlor, ministers death to you. Some of them began to think.
This guy is telling the truth. I'm grateful to God some of them today are born again. Some are still holding on to that lifestyle. When we stand today, you would think they are at least about 28 years older than me. Alcohol will make you grow up very quickly, grow older than your age. You look older than your age times, only God knows. But really, you know, we don't even preach that. We preach Jesus. We preach Jesus. That's our message. But for you to preach him, you need to see him first. How can you preach him that you don't know? Do you know Karl Marx? Have you ever seen Karl Marx before? Can you preach Karl Marx? You don't know him, except they told you in psychology or sociology. But I don't know Karl Marx, but I know Jesus. And he's alive and well. Can I have an amen? When Jesus is revealed to our hearts, we will walk in love at all times. And therefore, walk in victory over every challenge like he did. Jesus is love. 1 John 4:8. Put that on the screen for me quickly. I don't mind if this is the only point I make today and then we close. I want somebody to get this right. I want us to read it together. He that loveth not. Yeah, everybody, one, two, go. He that loveth not does not know God. Why? For God is love. Okay. Go to John 3:16. They say God is love here, right? God is love, right? Does the Bible say God is love? Okay, so let's go to John 3:16. Wherever you see God, put love there. If God is love, right? Right? Is that safe? No, come on. Are you cold? I'm sweating already. Are you cold? So wherever you see God, put love there. Because the Bible says God is love, right? So let's read it together. One, two, go. For love. No, don't say God. Come on now. God is love. So replace God with love. One, two, go. For love. So love the world. That love gave his only begotten son. That whoever believeth in love should not perish, but have everlasting life. The child of an alligator is a lizard. Is that correct? Will that be correct? Any teacher that teaches that should be sacked. The child of an alligator, come and talk to me now, is an alligator. The child of a lion is a lion. The child of a goat. Now, if God is love and he gave his only son, the son of God is also what? Love. Jesus is love. And anyone that accepts him will have everlasting life. If you have accepted him, do you believe you have everlasting life? Therefore, you will be walking in love towards God and towards other people. If truly you see Jesus, like Jesus is not a condemner. Jesus is love. He's love and is a lover. He's the lover of our soul. His ministry is love. 1 John 4:16. 1 John 4:16. Quickly, please. Let's read this together. I want us to put all the pieces together. And we have known and believed the love. That love. You know the Bible says God is love, right? So put love there. Anywhere you see God, put love there. For we have known and believed the love that love had to us, right? Love is love. God is love. Amen. Two scriptures have told us this morning that God is love. It didn't say God has love. It said God is love. I've never read in my Bible God is power. I've never read God is anointing. I've never read God is mercy, even though he's merciful. I've never read God is faith, even though he's faithful. I've never read God is power, even though he's powerful. I've never read God is beauty, even though he's beautiful. But the Bible says God is love. God is love. And he that dwelleth in love dwelleth where? In God. And God in him. Listen, church. Love makes you one with God. Love makes you one with God. Love, Love makes you one with God. Are you listening to me, church? Love makes you one with God. That's why many times and sometimes and more often than not, it might be difficult to walk in love because people are going to get on your nerves. They are not going to apologize, and they want you to come and apologize to them. And if you choose to stay in bitterness and in malice and in envy and evil speaking and backbiting, you are stepping out of love. And out of love is the most dangerous zone to live in. Are you getting what I'm saying? Many sicknesses and diseases have killed people because they stayed out of love. Let's examine our lives. Have you forgiven your mother? Have you forgiven your dad? How about that church member that offended you? How about that friend that bailed out on you, told a nasty lie against you? For your own sake, forgive them. Because when you live in unforgiveness, Satan really wants you to live in it so that he can afflict you. Many, many times when marriages break, I am telling you from experience, from what I know, that I know, that I know, that I know, Satan comes in full time and destroys everybody involved, father, mother, children. In London, a pastor divorced his wife on the pulpit. In London, beautiful church, one of the most sophisticated churches in London, back in the day. Maybe one of the first churches that had a moving pulpit in terms of technology. They had money, good choir, wonderful church, having outreaches. Coming to Africa to do outreaches, he was pastored by a Nigerian. Man had a large heart for the work of God. I don't know how Satan entered. It's one of the things I want to teach you in this series. I won't get there today because of time. I want to keep my word. But I'm going to teach you next Sunday by the grace of God. I pray I get there. One of the things that God has taught me and has commanded me to teach you is to expose the ministry of Satan to you so that you can know how to deal with him. I'm dealing with him currently. This man, for some reason, got up one Sunday morning, divorced his wife, and announced a new wife in the choir, in the church. Woo! What? What happened? There had been issues between himself and his wife. They had been trying to manage it. They got to a point they couldn't manage it anymore, so the man thought, let me make it public. A couple of months after, he became sick. Everybody prayed! They prayed. Got worse. They started bringing him to church on a wheelchair. He started gaining weight and was getting bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. He did with all the medications and everything. Wonderful man. I mean, I listened to his teaching before. Powerful. Nice man, those who knew him. Nice. Maybe he was the one at fault. Maybe the wife, I don't know. Sometimes you really have to just relinquish your right. Even though you are right. So as not to give Satan an inroad. Because when he comes, Satan will not say you are right, you are wrong. Even you that you are right, he will go after you. So for your sake, forgive. Are you getting what I'm saying? Long story short, this man died. Not too long after, when he died, they had to appoint a new pastor for the church. His wife, the original wife, became sick also. With all the medical facility in England, in the UK, she died. So they left their children orphans. Don't forget, he picked the new wife. So a new pastor had to step in. Didn't marry her, but I think he was married. He had to step in because church had to go on. The general overseer had died. Next to general overseer, stood in the pulpit and was announced as the pastor. Not too long after, he died. When he died, they chose another pastor. I'm telling you, if you know our lead pastor, you can go and ask him this story, that I told a lie and you want to confirm from him. Because he knew the man very well. In fact, I think he had preached in the church before. Now, The pastor after that one that was appointed, after a while, died. When he died, another person said, bro, we can't allow church to close down. They chose another person. About the third or the fourth one also died. Who wants to go next? See what Satan can do. We were in a training this last week. Some people were with me. Four of them. One of our facilitators shared a story that happened in Ibadan. And I figured that story happened in his church. Because I happen to know a bit about that church. One of the Pentecostal churches around. Husband and wife were fighting. They had issues. They had quarrels. Blah, blah, blah. Wife moved out of the house. The moment she moved out, the man had someone outside. The person moved in. Not more than a week or so. So it was like, just go. Let the better person come. So the better person came and they were living their lives. Guess what? Their first son, an only son. Only son. They had daughters, but the only boy developed the sickness. By the time they checked them out in UCH, the boy had leukemia. Leukemia is cancer of the blood. The two of them will come to the hospital. The father of the boy will stand on one side. The mother will stand on the other side. The boy was on the bed, helpless, asking for help. I'm sure in his mind, the boy wanted the two of them to come together. There is no child that wants his parents separated. I need you, dad. I need you, mom. Like, are you guys crazy? Now, you can't say that to your parents. But in your mind, you're thinking, are you mad? Come together now. The boy had leukemia. Unfortunately, he didn't survive. The boy died in less than a period of 2 weeks. 2 weeks. Satan was just waiting. He was just, oh yeah, somebody had died. Baba, you talk to me like that? Your father, when I was in secondary school, your father was my junior. Because I married you. Excuse me. You this miserable two-leg-footed idiot. You see, the way Satan works, he'll be working on this person's mind. He will also be working on the other person's mind. Are you getting what I'm saying this morning? God is already enlightening our eyes of understanding. Some of you, after this service, you need to go and meet one another and say, my sister, honestly, I love you. My brother, I love you too. Please forgive me. I take the blame. I'm sorry. Don't be claiming right now. Let us be smarter than Satan. Are you getting what I'm saying? This guy is supposed to be under our feet. The Bible says, that scripture we read, Ephesians 1, and has given him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body. The fullness of him that filleth all in all. The fullness of Jesus even fills the toe. What is the name of the last finger on our leg, on our feet or foot? Huh? I don't know the name. But you know the smallest finger. Don't lose focus, please. You know the smallest finger on your leg. Even if that is who you are in the body of Christ, you are still on top of Satan. Are you getting what I'm saying? The smallest, most insignificant member of the body of Christ, the one that got born again this morning before coming to church, or that is going to be born again as I'm closing my preaching now, will be far above Satan. But you know what Satan does? It will come from under and give you an idea. Don't you see that guy hates you? Hate him back. Who does he think he is? Who the hell? And then you look at him and say, who the hell do you think you are? Every time people have made that statement, can you tell me that they were inspired by the Holy Spirit? How many of us will be insulted and smile back? You would remind yourself of the fact that you are Fred, Akinola, Olubumi, Odunayo, Elegbe, Omolufumilayo. If that's when I will forget that I'm Pastor Fred, I'll remember I'm Emi Akinola Omolegbe. Have you heard me say that before? No, you haven't. That's when you remember that I am not a child that goes back home to collect response. But excuse me, can we be smarter than Satan? He's very cunning. Jesus said he's smarter. The children of this world are smarter in their generation than the children of the kingdom. Every time we want to do something and want to make progress as a family, as a church, as friends, as individuals in our own private lives, do you realize that is when an offense will come somewhere? That somebody will do something that you don't like, something that demeans you? I mean, these things happen. Let's not... Am I talking to real people this morning? It even happens to us pastors. Now, 10 of you are sitting down, they introduce 9. You are left out. How do you feel? I made that mistake one time. I introduced a man. I didn't introduce his wife. These are big people in a big church in Nigeria. I didn't know that was the wife. For some reason, I got busy. I introduced some people on the table. I didn't introduce the woman. When I realized it, I went to her personally to apologize. She chased me away with a heart bigger than the umbrella of PDP. You don't even know your job. You're not professional. You don't even know. I said, I'm sorry, ma. I really am very sorry, ma. But that's why I came to you, so I could get the details. I went, I don't need it. I don't need it. Don't introduce me. No. You know that. 6 months after, I saw them in the Oriental Hotel. This was in Ibadan. I met them in Ibadan at a general overseers event. So many GOs were there, and they were big people too. But I didn't know them. The people that supplied me names, supplied me the husband's. I didn't even know the husband. They just supplied me the name. And I mentioned, they didn't supply the wife's name. I used my intuition, my own common sense to go and ask. And she sent me away. We met in Oriental Hotel, a very small gathering, but classy, and I was in charge. When I saw them, I was thinking, where did I know this? Where did I know? Mama Yeri. So I went to meet them. They just came in briefly, and as they were breezing out, I dropped everything I was doing. I ran after them. As they got to the elevator, I greeted, good afternoon, sir. Good afternoon, ma. So they looked back. They didn't know me. I now introduced myself. I said, Mom, I just want to apologize. All right. Don't worry. She was still hurting because she was not introduced. With my work, I get exposed to all sorts. You dare call a reverend doctor Reverend without putting doctor, or a very reverend, reverend without very, or the very reverend, the reverend without the very, a double alaji without the double, a high chief without the high. You don't know the vanity that has filled the heart of people in this country, especially in this part of the world. How do you think, small boys? I'm apostle. Don't call me pastor. I'm apostle. You mistakenly say pastor. Stop it. Apostle doctor. Is it the title or for us to do the work? Hey, Joe, what title? We have, all of us are very rude. We call Jesus Jesus. No Dr. Jesus. Reverend Dr. Jesus. Apostle Jesus. At least the least evangelist Jesus. Was he not evangelizing? Was he not an apostle? Till today, is he not a prophet? Is he not a pastor? Is he not our shepherd? You people are very disrespectful. Where you want to be? In the name of Jesus. Can you say the name of Fred? In the name of... Son of God, head of the church, Igwe, King, Shepherd, General Overseer of our souls, our Bishop, because the Bishop of our soul, doesn't the Bible say all these things I'm saying? Do you know Jesus has all these titles, yet he comes as Jesus? May we see him like we should. Stand on your feet, everybody. That's why we need to pray that prayer. Lord, open my eyes. Silence the noise in my mind, Lord. And open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you, oh Lord. I want to see you. Silence the noise in my mind.
Silence the noise in my mind, Lord.
Open the eyes.
Open the eyes of my heart.
Satan manipulating this prayer and appearing like Jesus physically. No, we are asking, Lord, in my heart, I want to see you, Jesus. I don't want to see religion anymore. I don't want to see even my pastor. I don't want to see people. I want to see you, Jesus, beyond the pages of the Bible, beyond what the pastor says. I want to encounter you in my heart. In my heart, everyone that has seen Jesus has been transformed. Ask the madman of Gadara. The day he saw Jesus, his life turned around. Ask Mary Magdalene. When she saw Jesus, everything turned around. Ask blind Bartimaeus. When he saw Jesus, everything turned around. I want to see you, Jesus, in my heart. The eyes of my understanding being enlightened. I want to see Jesus. The woman caught in adultery, she would have been stoned to death, but she saw Jesus. That day, she received forgiveness, and she started afresh. Everybody condemned her. Everybody. Where is the man? They didn't bring the man. They only brought the woman. Everybody talked to Jesus. I want to see you in my heart. I want to see you in my heart. I want to see you today, and throughout this week. And when we come again next Sunday, we're going to still talk about Jesus. I want to see you more. I want to see you, more of you. Thank you, precious Father. Let me ask you, church. We're close now, I promise. But how many of you really, from what I've shared with you this morning, would like to know Jesus personally? Like, meet him for yourself, in your heart. You want to know him more. You want to know him deeper and better. One-on-one. You really desire. Can I see your hand up? Because I want to pray. for such people. 1, 2, 3, 4. You want to experience Jesus. Some of you don't want to. That's fine. I will not force you. But those who want to, can you slip up your hand and pray? I want to pray. I want to pray for you. Lord Jesus, let me close my eyes so that I don't condemn anybody. I don't want to get in the way of the Lord. Lord Jesus, you see your children. You see the desire of their heart. These are the people who have said they really want to encounter you. They want to know you. Lord, please reveal yourself on the pages of the Bible, deeper and beyond the pages of the Bible. Reveal yourself to them. Let the eyes of their understanding be enlightened, that they may see you for who you are. Many of us preachers have done a disservice to your name and your person. We have misinterpreted you. And some of our church members see you as a condemner. They don't know you as the builder. They don't know you as their advocate with the Father. They don't know you as their high priest. They don't even know you as their friend. So Lord, please bypass my own human weaknesses and limitations and reveal yourself through me also, through the teaching and preaching of your word, and in their own private time with you, in the place of their personal prayer, in the place of their personal devotion, in the place of their personal time of Bible study. Reveal yourself to everyone in the name of Jesus. Amen. Including those who didn't raise their hand, because they don't have a life outside of you. Lord, please, in your mercy, you do it sometimes that people who don't care about you, you reveal yourself to them. That's why you are God. So Lord, I pray for the ones listening to me this morning who are not lifting their hands. I know you love them, and you don't love anybody more than anybody. You don't even love me more than you love them. So please, in your mercy, reveal yourself to them. In the name of Jesus. Lord, one thing I pray for as we close this service is that you break and you destroy the hold of Satan. The hold, the stronghold of Satan over the minds of everyone listening to me right now, everyone watching online, everyone in the house this morning, everyone right here, I command the stronghold of Satan to be destroyed in the name of Jesus. The strongholds are in the mind. They are in our thoughts. And for some people, in their heart. Satan is sitting there. Now, Satan, your time is up. I command you, get out in the name of Jesus. This week, you will open your Bible and you will see Jesus. I said you will open your Bible and you will see Jesus. I said you will open your Bible and you will see Jesus. This week in your academics, you will see Jesus. This week in your finances, you will see the hands of Jesus. In your health, you will see Jesus. In your family, you will see Jesus. Between your dad and your mom, you will see Jesus. Among your siblings, you will see Jesus. In everything you do, you will see Jesus. You will not see any other person this week but Jesus. When you go to bed, you will see Jesus. When you wake up first thing in the morning, you will see Jesus. When you walk on the street, you will see Jesus. When you meet unbelievers, you will see Jesus. The love of Jesus will make you preach Jesus to them, and they will be converted in the name of Jesus. When you see the sick, you will lay your hands upon them, and the hands of Jesus will come upon your hands, and they will be healed in the name of Jesus. When people see you this week, they will see Jesus. Thank you, precious Father. Nobody will be the same again. This church is not going to be the same again. Instrumentalists, when you play Jesus. Choir, when you sing, you will sing Jesus. And the only result we will be having in the Expression House will be traceable to Jesus. Therefore, untimely death has no room here. Poverty has no room here. Lack has no room here. Sickness and disease have no room here. Amen. Failure has no room here. Amen. Depression has no room here. Amen. Everything that does not depict Jesus, out in the name of Jesus. Amen. As you go this week, go and do well. Amen. I said go and do well. Amen. I said go and do well. Amen. Go and do exploits. Amen. Go and prosper. Amen. Walk in righteousness. Amen. Walk in boldness. Amen. Walk in victory. Amen. Are you tired of saying amen? I said walk in victory. Amen. Walk in dominion. Amen. Walk in sound health. Amen. Walk in the joy of the Lord. Amen. Those of you that have you've had things stolen from you, this week those things are going to be restored. Amen. In seven folds they will be restored. Amen. People owing you money will pay you. Amen. Those of you struggling to pay your bills, help is coming this week. Because King Jesus is going to pay all the bills. And his name alone will be glorified. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Give him praise in the house of the Lord. In Jesus' precious name, we have prayed. Somebody shout amen.
Thank you once again for listening to this message. We hope it has been a blessing to you. Our goal is to show you the God of the Bible, so that you can know him intimately, beyond religion, and rediscover purpose in him. Please connect with us on all our social media platforms at the XPHNG, or join us in our live services at Mokola Ibadan for fellowship and partnership. God bless you.